Father, we are grateful this morning. What a wonderful morning we have. A start and the beginning of a new day. Every problem, every situation that ended last night, we have no control of it. Lord, but we can allow the enemy to use our memory, our thoughts, change our chemicals in our bodies and our emotions, Lord, and cause our bodies to react. Oh, Father, we could come to you and be satisfied that, Lord, that you are in charge of everything. Knowing, oh God, that you know exactly what is the beginning and what's the end of our lives and what you've planned for us, oh Father. Every circumstance and situation that we go through, we often stress about it. Lord, it causes us, Lord, to have restless nights and anxiety. Whether, Lord, we get news from the doctor or a financial problem or a situation at home, a marriage crisis. Lord, but we are learning, Lord, through your word that you are in charge of everything and nothing can ever happen unless you permit it. It might seem so bad. It might seem as though all is lost. But Lord, you take everything and you will use it for your glory. And may we come to rest, Lord, under that seventh seal, the promises that you have given to us, sir. We bring to you the requests, Lord, laying upon this paper the many, Lord, that have circumstances, those that are celebrating their birthdays and anniversaries. We remember, Lord, the fivefold and the believers that are supporting the work with their substance, their presence and their prayers. We ask that you'd bless them, Father. Lord, in remembering, Lord, the fivefold, remember your servant behind this desk. We thank you for the office bearers and everyone that's part of the government of the church. Today, oh God, you teach us your way, that as we would learn, oh Father, that we will be connected, Father, with this invisible world. Because that is where our connection lies, not in this visible things, but Father, through the unseen things. Inspire our hearts and bless your word, we pray now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters. As you are standing this morning, I greet you in the name of our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take our scripture reading. I want to speak on the law of the invisible and the law of the visible. Colossians 1:16. For by him were all things created that are in the heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, or all things were created by him and for him. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious words. You may take your seat this morning. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord, and I trust the Lord will undertake for you. So we have some visitors. Isaac, Sister Salome's dad, and Azalea. Oh my, and Melchius, somewhere here. Okay. Hope your father know you're coming to our church. All right. We're doing the law of the invisible and the law of visible. It's a very, very complicated, but not complicated. It's very simple, but yet looked over, in a sense that because of the law of the invisible and the law of the visible, people have difficulty to even understand Colossians 1:16, have difficulty to understand John 1:1, have difficulty to understand when you see me, you see my Father. They have difficulty to understand that I and my Father are one. God becoming tangible, God becoming material, God becoming flesh. That's because they don't understand the many laws. So there are many laws that we need to understand to know Godhead. Because lots of times people will tell you, but where is it? Why is you making Godhead such a big thing? But they don't understand that that is the heart of the ministry. Christ, the mystery of God, revealed that God had hid in the back parts of his mind what he is going to do, but he reveals it in the last days. Amen. So we know that we study the dimensions, and we know that that he is a being. In the eighth dimension, he is a being. We don't know much more about the eighth, but we do know that that being is in the form of energy, because everything on this world has got energy, and everything on this earth has energy. Your very fiber has energy. Your very being has energy. It has to come from somewhere. Amen. And so we know that Einstein speaks of energy, okay? And we will at some stage look at that. And there must be a reason why Brother Branham speaks about Einstein. God does not make this prophet to go and research about someone or something and not mention it without a connection. So sometimes you will wonder, why does the message connect this? He is interpreting. When a prophet reads a scripture, all you need to do is to go in and look, where is he interpreting the scripture? Because when you understand the Lord uses the messenger and the prophet of the age, then you begin to the Bible becomes a new book. So this being, which is in the eighth dimension, is the architect. And he has many plans. And we know that he has a plan in his mind. And having a plan in his mind, he's going to put this plan from the time he's going to lower himself. Now, we already know that if he stayed in the eighth dimension, the capacity, the potential that he has will never be fully realized, because he is alone. And he had ambitions. He had desires. He had a need. And that need could only be fulfilled if he comes down to the world which you and I are calling earth. Okay? If he lowers himself from the eighth dimension, and he comes down, and he's going to put that plan into operation from Alpha and Omega. So Alpha and Omega, Alpha is the beginning, and Omega ends in the book of Revelation when there is a new world. So you do know that I've done this so many times, that there are more than one beginning. There's not only one beginning, there are more than one beginnings. And so he's going to bring this plan, and he's going to put this plan into operation. And so all his thoughts, all his concepts, we call that logos. Now, even the word logos is also a thing that the church world don't understand. The message community don't even understand. I touched on it when I just started it. But if the Lord allows me, I want to go back again and show you more about the Logos. But just to tell you that plan from Alpha and Omega is called Logos, which is the thoughts and concepts. And so now, having the thoughts and concepts, he's going to lower himself from the eighth. And when it comes to the seventh, now, it is important for you to understand, and I don't have the time to show you my charts, but from the eighth to the seventh now, he now calls himself the Word, because he's coming down with his mind, with all his thoughts. He's coming down with all his qualities, his traits, the DNA. He's coming down... and the being himself is coming down, but he does not have a body. He doesn't have a body. Now he's going to put himself into a body. He's going to clothe himself. Now this is revision. For those of you that are getting lost, you got to go back to the, when I started the series. Okay, we are now on the 13th series. All right? And so now the same being, which is the Spirit, He's the Word, He has the plan. And what is He going to do? He's going to have His thoughts put together. And when He has His thoughts put together, He calls Himself the Word. And but it's the same being, the being which we call Father, the being which we call God, the one that we call the Eternal One, the Self-Existing One, Elohim. So we don't know His name. We don't know His name yet. But why? Because it's like a game that God is playing, if I could say that. A game that if you can guess my name. And right through it was like, guess what my name is. And nobody could guess His name. You know, you play hide and seek. Children play hide and seek. I don't even know if they play hide and seek now. Okay? And you look for them, you can't find them. And they either behind something or whatever it is. That's what God was doing. That was God was doing. And so we see that the Father, the Word, the Being, the Spirit, Elohim, Jehovah, God is one and the same. Is one and the same. We have not yet brought the Son down fully. I mentioned Him, but I did not bring Him down fully. All right. So in the beginning, the Father, I told you there's no Son. So He spoke the Word. Now this is very important. You've got to follow me. This is some of the new ground we're going to cover. And I'm going to pick the levels up eventually. All right? So the Father now, He's going to speak the Word. And the Word will go out. And the first thing, what does He do? Remember, He needs to clothe Himself. And for Him to clothe Himself, He needs to create a field. And you can't have a field without splitting an atom. And you know, we spoke about this when He said, let there be light. And when He said, let there be light, it had three meanings to that. One was He's creating a garment for Himself. Okay. Two, He's going to bring out His Son. And three, He's going to bring out the natural Son. But it's not happening the same time. Because a prophet does not see time. And this is where the problem lies, that most of the people, when they read the Bible, read the scriptures, read the message, hear me preach as well, right? Hear Pastor Tony preach, or hear Brother Norman preach, or anybody. And when we bring out quotes, you got to remember that this prophet was, like when the Bible says, and the wife hath made herself ready. It's a finished work. How it's going to take place, when it's going to take place is not important. Now you might say, but you know, it seems so far, far away. Now, I don't know if you've had a dream. Okay, I did speak about this some time ago. When you think about something or you think about someone, you keep pressing about a problem. And what does it do? Your subconscious brings it up in the form of dreams sometime. And then when you have a dream, it seems as though you've been dreaming for a long time. Because the way you, when you in the dream you walk, you're talking to somebody, you might be sweating it out, or you might be having a meal, and it seems long. But when you do wake up, you realize that it from that dream, whether you have a dream, either it's a bad dream and your partner shakes you up and you wake up or you turn, and it seems as though you slept for about a month or 2 months. Now that's got to do with your subconscious and your conscious mind. Okay? So when we get onto that side of life, when we speak about time, you're going to find that what you think is long on that side is not long. What you think here is far is not very far on that side. Now, you might say, but heaven, yeah. You're looking up. But heaven is not up or neither down. It's a world that is faster than this. Okay? It's just that you can't catch it. You see, but I don't understand you. like people are walking through this room. There are text messages going through this room. There are songs going through this room, but you can't see it. That is taking place in the fourth dimension. You don't have the ability to see it. But you're going to find when your body changes on that side, when you get onto that side, there's no such thing as time. So when he began to split the atom and he created the field, okay, and we do know that this body of this being or Elohim now was because he takes it from here. Just one second. I need to, for the sake of the, he takes it from here. This is the atom that split. Now, whilst I'm on this, just to tell you that out of these particles is going to start creating galaxies, Milky Ways, stars, and so forth. But then the first thing he does, he clothes himself, and this is his body, okay? And now you'll find that I've placed the mind and his thoughts and so forth in this. So the being is here now, all right? And so we are now in eternity. We are now in divine time. But before this level here, before this level, just above that, we have what you call the Aleph Zero or Aleph Null, right? Means there's an infinite world that you and I don't know about, and he existed there. He existed there, and he could not do anything but lower himself, and so he creates fields. So these are fields that he has created. Okay, this is called the spiritual Higgs field. What does it do? It keeps particles or atoms stable, or else they will fly all over the galaxies. And so we see that right here there is no sun, and he wants to lower himself. And what is he going to do? You're going to find that when he creates the Higgs field, he creates what you call a channel of communication. Now, remember when he, now I want you to remember what I said. He spoke, let there be. He spoke. Now you say, but why is it important? Because we're going to have a departure from the process just now. And because of the departure of the program of God, it brought about confusion in the church world. Okay, but it is done deliberately because God wants to keep it as a mystery. So he speaks. For him to speak, he creates what we call the fourth channel or the fourth dimension. Now, that's a dimension that causes particles. Like you are hearing me. You are hearing me now, but I show to you how you are hearing me, that your brain processes this entire thing, because as I'm talking, you're thinking you're hearing me in words. You're not actually hearing me in words. Your brain is interpreting it. All right? Your brain is interpreting everything. But for you to hear my words, like I have what you call a cordless mic on my lapel. It's not connected to anything. It's reading into the computer at the back. But it needed a channel to carry what I'm saying there. I have another one here, okay, that goes into those speakers there. It needed what you call a road or a map. And so that's called the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is the dimension of communication that he is going to use. Because outside this channel, you can't speak. Like you go under the water and you try to speak, you can't speak. But the marine life they can communicate. The bird life, they can communicate. Like, you know, for example, did you know that you think that birds can get lost? Birds, they have what you call a navigation system built in them. You see, but how does it? How is it possible that they could come back and not finish off somewhere else? It's because there are waves, their eyes, the body, they read the vibrations and they're able to pick up. I'll show you that one of the days. And that is how God is able to direct His creation. Because there is a communication channel, right? And if there was no fourth dimension, then God can't speak. So He uses that channel to speak, okay? He creates the channel so that the signals can go in, okay? And so that dimension that started off in the seventh is continuing right until the first dimension, right? And where that even the angels are going to use that channel. We will look at the fourth dimension as a subject on its own, all right? And so this communication channel is not only for the sixth and the seventh, but it goes all the way even to the bottomless pit. Okay, even goes to that bottomless pit. And so all dimensions are connected. So this is connected by the fourth dimension. That means there's your communication. Now the question is, what does the fourth dimension use? It's going to use your mind. So your mind is a receiver and your mind is a broadcasting station. You may not believe it, but your mind is a receiving station and your mind is a broadcasting station. So have you noticed sometimes you wake up in the morning and say, what a terrible day. And then you drive into traffic, you have a burst tire, or your tire comes off your van or your car, or somebody comes in and they smash into you. You go to work and you get stuck in the lift. You say, what a bad day. It's because you've been broadcasting it. You've been broadcasting it. Okay? That is why you never tell your plans out. You never tell your secrets out. You say, but why? It's because it's a broadcasting. That's why you stay on the positive. Stay on the positive all the time. How are you doing? I'm wonderful. I'm blessed, brother. Can't be any better. How's business? Oh, the Lord is wonderful. He's paying our bills. You stay in the positive. You broadcast. Okay? Let's stay out of there because you love those things, eh? All right. So when I speak, you hear the message, it goes to your mind. Your mind receives it and it is processed. All those things are processed. So how does the angel of the Lord, how does the ministry communicate to you? We call it inspiration. We call it a revelation. It's all connected to your mind. So you have what you call your conscious mind and you have your subconscious mind. That is why I made the statement the other day, is that you can have the Holy Ghost and you can still get lost. And I think there was a question that came to me about that. Is that how is it possible that you can have the Holy Ghost and you can still get lost? Is because you can have the gifts, you can have a true healing, true prophecies, the teachings can be right, the ministry can be right, and whatever it is, but if there is no gene, then you're not going anywhere. Okay? But that subject on its own, because Luther smoked and Luther used some unsavory language. But can you say that Luther never had the Holy Ghost? He had the Holy Ghost. Luther, after he preached the service, he'll take his pipe and knock it on the pulpit. If you try and do that today, You say, but what's wrong with Brother Louis? How can you smoke in the church? But if you look at Luther at that time, according to the word of God, he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Wesley was filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? I think, I stand to be corrected, I think Wesley married a woman who already had children. Was it her? I think it's somewhere I read that. Was it a widow or something? I'm not too sure. But was Wesley's information experience wrong? No. Then you had Pentecost, Boswood, and all those men. A.A. Allen, they've seen the gifts of God operating. They had the Holy Ghost. But why do they need this ministry to come up? Because, you see, when we think of baptism of the Holy Ghost, we think of something coming into you. It's not something coming into you. Right? It is more information or more understanding coming to you. Luther had an understanding. Wesley had an understanding. Pentecost had an understanding. But the understanding that you have today is not the understanding that Paul had. Do you believe Paul had the Holy Ghost? Hello? Paul was saved. But Paul never came to sonship. Now, also another thing, before I go there, is that we preach the subjects of heaven and hell as though only the bride is going to go to heaven. That's not true. It's not true. Okay? Because the prophet says you will fight your way to hell. And only the devil and his angels will go to hell. But we'll go to that just now. All right. So the ministry speaks to you either through your mind. And that is why you find people get inspired and they leave and nothing happens. You talk to the message. Oh, yeah. Oh, brother, I see it. And nothing. But then you have a group of people that basically works on it. Just give me a second. I want to look for something. So I can demonstrate it to you, so you'll understand. Thanks, brother. I was wondering what happened there. Looking for something here. Sometimes in life, you know. In the church world, we often have this illusion that something must come into us. And lots of times people say, but hey, I went to this church and hey, the people were so quiet. Then I went to the other church. Oh my word. They were all over. You know how powerful the meeting was. Question is, on what are you basing it on? Are you basing it on your conscious world or your subconscious world? Are you basing it on your emotions? Or you're basing it on your gene? Because a lot of times we have this illusion that baptism of the Holy Ghost has to do with a lot of hallelujah. You know that? That's Pentecost. That's Pentecost. You can be sitting quietly in the church and you could have an experience with the Lord and you'll walk out here completely converted. When I say converted, a lot of times we must move away from the realm of the mistakes of the people. The reason why I say that is that a lot of times we look at somebody and we measure them purely because of where they are living or what they are doing. Thank you, brother. Let me see if I put something out here. Okay, let me just try and bring it. I put a note here. So, you know, if you take an egg, that is about to incubate, it's got a chick in it. So people often believe that change must come from the outside. Put a note here. So if an egg is broken from the outside force, life ends. And that's how the church world began in the message community. They put pressure from the outside. You must get your dressing right. You must get... Now, those things are important also. You must get this right, get that right, great, all this. And, oh, brother, you got the Holy Ghost. But great things always begins from the inside. Great things always begins from the inside. If an egg is broken by an inside force, life begins. Take a natural egg that's incubated. A little boy goes and cracks. I tried it. Mom used to have a whole lot of chickens. You know, I saw this egg and I... Poor guy never even survived 30 seconds. He died. I didn't know that. Okay? But if the chick from the inside breaks the egg, what happens? Life begins. So the Zoe of God works from the inside out. Sometimes you could be seated here and you could be struggling. You've made mistakes. You just wish the world, the earth will open up and swallow you. But and then you get the guy who's got a suit and tie and he's got all the... Think of a great man of God. But he has not experienced God as compared to the one that's acknowledging. So where does it start? It starts on the inside. So you can say, look, I love the Lord and all this, but unless the Lord is working on the inside of you, nothing can take place. So you can have the anointing on the outside. There's a lots and lots of quotes I have. I said if I switch my slides, I'm going to lose time. But just to say to you is that you can receive this word of God in your flesh. That's it. And thank you, brother. Okay. So, coming back now, how does the word of God minister to you? Can either minister to you intellectually or from Zoe. Right, Zoe. But we'll go more into as we're going on. All right. So, what does he do? He clothes himself with the pillar of fire. And what does the first act he does? He condescends himself. He condescends. Now, condescend is a process. Is a process coming from the eighth. Coming from the eighth, that means he is already substance. Now somebody asked me, what do you mean by substance? You are a product of something. He is not a product of anyone. He was just there. He was energy. He had all his qualities, all his traits. He was self-existing. He was, so he was in a form. We use the word spirit. We say he's the spirit. Because our conscious thinking is that anything that is invisible is called a spirit. But that's not really true. Because when I said that he cannot be seen, what I'm trying to get at, he cannot be seen by our eyes. You say, but prove it. Then how did Brother Branham see him? Because Brother Branham was not seeing with his eyes. He was looking through that through a prophetic eye. Where the anointing took him and he was able to say, oh, I can see him there, Elohim, not even an atom, no matter, no time, no space. How could this human being know it? That was more than a human being now that's carrying this prophet into the eighth dimension to see, oh, he's self-existing. This is not a story, brothers and sisters. This is reality where the great God takes this prophet into that dimension where he even sees Adam, he sees the serpent, he sees the woman. So you and I are having access to this great movie that took place that nobody can even have or know about except they fall under the teachings of this prophetic ministry. Amen. And so he clothes himself with light. And now he is ready. But remember I said there is no sun there. But he calls himself the Word. Okay, he calls himself the Word. Now, just be careful now. My slides, I think, just jumped off. I put a note that the Word is here and there's no theophany. This was before he could come into a body of light. Remember that. After he comes into a body of light, the theophany is there. Because the purifier now becomes the body of God. Do I make sense? So before the body of light could come into existence, yeah, he's called the Word, and there's no theophany there, okay? But when he clothes himself, then he gets a then we can say he's now in a theophany. So the theophany is the housing of the Father. So the Father is called the Word. I'm repeating because you'll see why. He's called the Word, he's called the Being, he's called the Spirit, he's called Jehovah. He's called the self-existing one. Are you with me? Now, he's the one with the energy. He's the one with the energy. He's the one with the Spirit. And he's going to bring the Word. The Word that he, the thoughts that he has. So every time you have a thought, you express that thought, it becomes a word. Okay? And that word will goes into the fourth channel as a wave. These are new words we're going to learn. Wave. And eventually, it'll move to a particle. You see, but where all this is going? Just remember it as an introduction. We'll pick that up as we're going on. All right. So this energy, this being, this Spirit now, he speaks, brings a body of light out. Now that becomes his house. It becomes a theophany of God, becomes the house of God. It becomes the body of God. Okay. His greatest desire is that he wants to lower himself. And for him to lower himself, we know he creates this environment which is called the Higgs field. And now you have, he's in the seventh dimension. His greatest desire, brothers and sisters, is because remember that he was not even called God. He was not even the Father. He just wants to express himself. So if you read Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, you will see there how the prophet says. So you can say that this is the Father. Okay, he's the Father. You can call him the Word. Now I'm sure you're thinking of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Because that's where John 1:1 fits in. In the beginning was the Word. Not pertaining to the Son. The Son did not come down yet. You can say that's the Holy Spirit. By now you're learning. You are now learning that you cannot take this message and take one word and apply it to just that one thing. You know, I taught you about Christ. We mentioned a little bit of Logos. All right? Because there is no Son yet. Now let's go to Hebrews 4:13. Neither is there any creation that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So now, what happens now is that this being here now knows everything. I'm going to tie the scripture up later on, okay? He knows everything. So when you're looking at this scripture of Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Because why? He has an omniscient mind. Now I want you to remember this because it's going to help you when you witness to people. Omniscient mind means that he knows everything. And when he lowers himself from the eighth to the seventh, he comes with an omniscient mind. He comes with that omniscient mind. And when he comes with this omniscient mind, he knows everything. Now he begins to speak. He speaks the first atom into existence. Now you might say, does God have a mouth? Yes, God has a mouth. God has a mind. God has a nature. God has a being. And if you say God doesn't have a mouth, then on the Mount of Transfiguration, who said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell in? Because Jesus was on the earth, Peter, James, and John was there, and they heard a voice from above. Okay? Because Brother Brown says that God can speak. He says that God can speak. And lots of times, brothers and sisters, what happens is that we don't realize that God has a mouth. But that program or that process is going to change. You say, but why will it change? Because what he's going to do now, he's going to change how he operates. He's going to change how he operates. Now, I want to ask you the question. Who is the creator? God. Who is the sculptor? God. Alright? And what is his plan? His plan is now to make a masterpiece. That's his plan. His plan is to make a masterpiece. And we say, but why does he need a masterpiece? Well, he follows his order that he lays down for the local church. That you'll notice that when somebody wants to do something, or the minister wants to counsel somebody, he says, look, I need to have a witness. I said, well, why do you need a witness? Well, just in case I'm quoted wrong, in case they go and say I said something else. So God needed a witness, or this being needed a witness, because he wants to show that he's the one with the omniscient mind. He wants to show that he is the creator. And so when he brought the first body out, there was nobody to witness that. There's nobody. When he split the first atom, there was not even the sun there. I'm taking too much of time, eh? So these are just titles of God. The Father, Eternal Spirit, the Word, the Holy Ghost. These are all just descriptions. They are just descriptions of this great being. And lots of times when you read the scriptures that all things were created by him and for him, the scripture rendering is written in such a way to hide the mystery. Because remember the scripture that we read started off in the book of Colossians. It'll render to you that Paul is talking about the sun. But there was no sun here. Because if all things were created by him, and you have the sun in your mind, did the sun make the body of God? He was not there. And so that's why you'd find that, I know my recording is going across, and I appreciate that you're sharing with your friends and your families. You know, you can do that for these series. We keep it open because it's some way that people can understand what we believe. I'm not going to leave everything open, unfortunately. All right? Is that if the sun was creating all things, you got to tie what Brother Brian says, he was alone. He was alone. Who was alone? Elohim. He never said the sun. So if the Son is the creator, that means the Son created the Father's body. Now, did any one of you would respect create the body of your father? But your father and mother gave you your body. Okay? That's why they say you look like your mother, you look like your father. So, let's go on. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Brother Waco, pick this up. I should have told you. You keep your Bible open because I need to go to the history of it. Because remember that I'm looking at the law of the invisible and the law of visible. I want to show you the difference between the Word, the living Word, or the revealed Word. I want to show you the difference between the Word and the expressed Word. I want to show you the difference between the Word and the manifested Word. And it seems as though it's one and the same. It's poles apart. Do you make sense? All right. So maybe, brothers, if you can bring up that scripture. For if the elders obtain a good report through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. So when you read that, right? And you look at the words word. Go to the word word. Sorry, go to the word word. Same scripture. Verse 3, the word of God. Hit the word word. That's rhema. Come down, please, brother. Means word, saying, thing. Right? That from that which is or has been uttered by the living voice, spoken. And any sound produced by the voice and having defined meaning, speech. So, you're going to learn two words. Rhema. Rhema means the spoken word. Then you have the word logos, which is also a word, but it does not mean that word there. Okay, so you need to be very careful. So, the first atom that came by the word of God, which means the spoken word. God spoke. So that atom was spoken out of nothing. God just said, let there be. And this atom split. Now, so when he said, let there be, there's so much of things that we can speak about that word that went out there. They remember that it was not produced by itself, but they were made by a creator. So the creator made it. You see, but how did he make it? By just speaking it, it comes into existence. He never take anything and make the first atom. Now the first atom is so important for you to remember. It's going to make only the heavenly particles. So the body of God cannot be tested according to this world. It is superior. It's not light like this. It's not like fire on your stove. It is a completely different molecule structure, not of this world. Because why he's this creator now, what is he going to do? The Bible says the worlds were framed by the word of God, by the spoken word of God. Let's go on a little bit. So what does he do? The first part of the plan was to come into creation, is to come into time. This is the seventh dimension, and there is no sun there. And so what does he do? He calls himself the Word. And when he calls himself the Word, there is no theophany there because he did not come into a body of light. The Word is just an identification of him. It's not another being. It's an identification of him. It's not another being. Are you with me? Right, so remember that he lowers himself, he calls himself the Word, and then he speaks, puts himself into a body of light, and now you've got the heavenly particles on one side. Remember the picture? Now he is in a body. So now he's called the Word. It's called the Word. But he is still, listen to me now, invisible. He's still invisible. He cannot be seen. All right. Now, when you read quotes like this, which confuses many people, says the scriptures, you believe in God, believe also in me. And people say, yes, Brother Brian says, believe also in me. So why would the scripture say, believe also in me? You see, if you use language in just one way, you are going to not understand the mystery of God. Because if you say, but Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. And you only take that word, say, that's it, yeah. Believe also in me. So Jesus must be God. Then I want to ask you, The angel of the Lord said to Brother Branham, if you can get the people to believe you, does that make Brother Branham God? Hello? No, isn't it? So language has been used in a way. I and my Father are one. Immediately people are thinking, oh, Kenville is wrong. I and my Father are one. But stay with me, so I don't give it away quickly. And when you see the Word made manifest, you see the Father, God, because the Word is the Father. The Word is God. And the Word made manifest. He is God Himself taking His Word and manifesting amongst believers. Now you can read that and you can have a picture. But I want you to understand what you read. Because if you do not understand what you read, you don't have confidence to whom you pray to. I don't want you to be like how people say, look, I believe Brother Branham. I'm just repeating his words. And you don't even... I am telling you this, and I know this is going to go to average, maybe across the world. There are so many ministers in the message and people that read the message who knows that they don't know. They know they don't know. And they will never want to learn. They will give you a quote, but in their heart it says, yeah, I really don't know what it means, eh? But they want to give a quote to you. Because we are not here to repeat what Brother Branham says. We are here to come to understand. Now people say, but what do you mean? There's this one here. If you see me, you see my Father. How do you understand that? If you see me, you see my Father. Maybe bring the scripture up, please. If you see me, you see my Father. For I and my Father are one. If you see me, you see my Father. What are you looking? Optical. That's what you're looking at. He that is born of the Spirit. John 3:3. The word see means to understand. Not optical. It means if you understand me, you're going to understand my Father. Because you can't see the Father. So you can read your Bible. You can read these quotes. I and my Father are one. And use the quotes. The Word is manifested and so forth. And you can go on and go on and go on. The question is, how is the Father in the Son? Let me give you how. How are you in your child? Did you know you are in your child? Have you say, but how many times you told your child, hey, you look your father. How many times Michael, Sister Quinita said, you look your father, you. Now, if you see me, you see my Father. I think it's John 14. Philip, how long have I been with you? What is it? Your thoughts. Your thoughts. So the thoughts of the Father is in the Son. This is not... I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay? So what are we looking at? We're looking at now the invisible world and the visible world. Now we spoke about this and I'm not going to spend too much of time. You know, He comes down. So in the beginning was the Word. I told you He comes down. In the beginning was the Word. This is now in the seventh dimension. This is before He's got a body of light. In the beginning was the Word. Okay? And if you go on reading, the same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. And in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You read it as though, and you put it as the way the church world is preaching, says that's Jesus, the Son. Then you're going to say to me that it was the Jesus, the Son, that made the body of the Father. Which is not true. All right. So this is when John 1:1 is when before he could come into the body of light. All right. And John 1:3 says, and all things were made by him. And the Bible says all things were made by him. How was it made by him? We're going to look into that. All right. And we are learning now he's using Rhema. I told you he spoke his first body into existence, but the program and the process is going to change. And that's what the problem is with the church world. The process and the program was kept away from them. All things were made by him. Verse 3. Who's this by him? That's God. And without him, not anything made that was made. All right? Because remember, if you say that that the Son made everything, then you got two creators. And that's what the church world don't understand. That's why you have a Trinity. They don't know. They're so afraid because they don't want to say there's a God and there's a Son. They're afraid. They want to make everybody equal. They think this is democratic rights in heaven. That's what they think. No, there is only one God. And there's none like him. There's only one. You've got to be brave enough to say that there's only one God. All right. So this is what he's doing. He's now going to come down to the seventh dimension. He's going to leave the eighth dimension. And now he's on the seventh dimension. And that's when he's called the Word. That's what he's called the Word. Is that clear? Let's go on now. Revelation 4:11. For thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor. For thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created. So you are now, I'm confirming to you, there's only one creator. There's only one creator. All right? You might say, but what about Jesus? You went to see just now. All right? So in Psalms 33 and verse 6, Bible says, by the word of God were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. Psalms 33 verse 9, for he spake and it was done, he commanded and it stood. Now this is where the trouble comes in. Who created all things by Jesus Christ. He created all things by Jesus Christ. So the question I said to you, who created the body of God? It was not the Son. It was not the Son. The first Rhema that went out was by Elohim himself. Let there be light. So all things were not created. You see, but now, so why does the scripture say that? Now the prophet comes, he says, not by, he comes in and he begins to start telling us a lot of things about who the Son is. So, after God, let me just try and skip the slide and move somewhere else quickly. Okay. Let me come here. And I'm going to go back to my slides. All right? So, what does he do? He puts himself into a body of light. And now he wants to start a family. He wants to start a family. Now remember I said spoke to you about Einstein. And Einstein's formula is energy is equal to mc squared. Alright. So we know that everything of matter comes in a form of energy. You hold that thought. We'll look at it at some other stage. Alright. So what does God do now? Now that he's there, he's going to start bringing forth his Son. But before... This is where, this is one of the quotes I was trying to tell you about. Some time ago. In who is this Melchizedek? Read this. If your God is wrong, you are not going to get this thing right. He comes right down the regular line from attribute. Before, what's an attribute? A thought. From the before the foundation of the world, his name is put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Hold it now. Did God put his name on the Lamb's Book of Life? But you see, what's the next one? Then from that he became the Word. You see there, he became the Word, the theophany that could appear and disappear. Look how it is written. It is written in a way to make it sound that the invisible and the visible is one and the same. It's not the same. Because if his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who wrote it then? This has to do with the Son of God. His name had to be put on record. And if you speak to somebody who believed that Jesus the Son is God, ask them to explain this to you. They can't explain it to you. You say, but why? So what does he do now? He brings his son. He brings his son. You're going to say, but you know, Brother Louis, I just think that you're now bringing two people, two beings. You got two gods. Well, you got to tell me about this one here now. Can you read this quote with me? I can see him speak to this world, hanging there as an icicle, whatever it was, way he moved it. I see this light, little light go out. Now, we got two. The Father, and out of the Father came the light, the Son. So you got two lights. You got two lights. Now, how did he make the body of the Son? He did not take any particles. Remember the picture I showed you on the right hand side? He never took any of those particles to make the Son's body. He took from his very own body. He took from here a piece and he made the body of his son. That's exactly I showed to you how God made the body of the woman. He took a portion of Adam and he made a body for the woman. Now I'm introducing to you another law. Because they come from the same atoms, they're going to have a connection which is called the law of entanglement. I'm introducing another law to you. It's called the law of entanglement. You say, but what is the law of entanglement? I will tell you just now. They cannot be separated, yet they are not one. They cannot be separated yet. Have you noticed that? I don't know if my brother who's got a twin, whether they have this experience, but like in my wife and her seem to have an entanglement. I know I picked it up over the years. When she feels unwell, she feels unwell. But they came, I don't know how it happens. There's a connection. You notice a mother has an entanglement with a child. You say, oh, I don't understand you. It's been proven by science that when a mother brings a child into the world, a portion of the child stays in the memory of the mother. That no matter where the child will be, there is an entanglement, there is a connection. You say, but why would that be? Because the Bible says all that came from his mind, he will not forget. He will never forget his child. That's what the Bible says. Can a suckling mother forget a child? So the law of entanglement is telling you that there is a connection. But you say, but Brother Louis, how can you say there are two lights? Okay. I remember, I'm only showing you. I am not here to convince anybody. People say, but why are you trying to convince? I'm not trying to convince anybody. The elect should not be convinced. The elect will see it. Oh, Brother Louis, I can read it. Now we got two. Father, and out of the Father came the light, the Son. Now you have two lights. So now the Father's got his own theophany. The Son's got his own theophany. All right? But the particles, the atoms, are the same. They are made out of that first split alpha atom, the first alpha atom that split. That's where the body of the sun was taken off. He did not take it off from all the other particles when he said, let there be. The body that he formed himself out of his own body, he says, I am now going to give a body for my son. Now, what does that create? It creates a law of entanglement, which means it cannot be separated from the father and son, cannot be separated. And you say, but explain to me the law of entanglement. Okay, let's break it up. Imagine you have two identical, very special particles. Let's call them particle A and particle B. I'm explaining the law of entanglement. These particles are like best friends. They have a magical connection between them, no matter how far apart they are. No matter how far apart they are, there is a connection. And it's been proven by twins. Twins were separated, or triplets can be separated, but when they come together, there is an entanglement. It's a mysterious entanglement. Like, you notice your children? That is why don't get involved when your children fight. Because you become the enemy. You know? Because there's an entanglement between blood. So if you understand that, I want you to see this. There is a magical or a mysterious connection, no matter how far apart they are. So when the particles A and particle B are together, they become friends, they get entangled. It's like they share secrets that no one else knows. And when these particles go far away from each other, something amazing happens. So you look at particle A and see what it's doing. And the very same moment, particle B knows what's happening with particle A, even if it's on the other side of the world. It's like they talk to each other instantly, faster than anything else in the universe. Scientists call it entanglement. The surprising part is that no matter how far apart particle A and particle B are, they will always know what the other one is doing. Now, this is science, by the way, called the law of entanglement. That's how the body of the sun and God is. There is the law. Are you with me? There is entanglement there. And this entanglement is a mystery to lots of people. But science is confirming there is a connection. But you cannot separate them. You see, but why? Because there is an invisible bond there. There's an invisible bond. You can't explain it. In my experience, I couldn't explain it. When she had a headache, I found out, she said, yeah, I've got a headache. I can't explain those things. Right? Let's go on. I want to show to you that there are two even at the end. Now, this is a problem. I know my voice is going to go across the world. I don't know who's going to get it. That when you study the message, in the early days, they started from 46. And there was not all the material and information available. So people began to build doctrines around it. And then when they read about, and out of nothing, I see the light, and that's the Son of God. And they said, there's only one. So they never understood that if you study from 46, by the time the seals are opened, Brother Branham is getting clarity. Now he's getting clarity with the language. You'll see even under the apostolic ministry, that there are terminologies and language been introduced. And you say, but we never heard this before. It's only bringing clarity of the same doctrine. Okay, so on top of the mountain will set the lamp, and the city will need no light, for the lamp is the light thereof. And above the light lamp will be the Father, which is the Logos, God the great light, the eternal light, that will shine just above the throne. Now if you look carefully, and the city there will be no light, for the light is the light thereof. And above the lamp will be the Father, which is the Logos, God the great light. So in the end now, in 1964, the seals are open. Now Brother Branham is bringing clarity. There are two lights. But if you start from 46 and in the message, Who is God, or the Hebrew series, you sing one. Because he's not bringing clarity. And so the message community draws a conclusion. Out of nothing, out of Elohim, you see the sun. And there's one. So they make everything one. If you end with two, there must be two at the beginning. Not two gods. Not two gods. Two lights. Two theophanies. Two bodies. Are you? But they are entangled. They are connected. Jesus will not be on his Father's throne. This is another subject. He will be on his throne. And the Father will hover over the Son, which the Father and Son will be one. You look at that quote, the Father and Son will be one. Entanglement. They're connected, not one like your finger. And people say, but we believe Jesus is God. Yeah, it depends which Jesus you're thinking about. The invisible Jesus or the visible Jesus? The invisible Word or the visible Word? Are you getting used to the language? And Jesus will commit to the perfect living God he has redeemed and give over to the Father. So now you're seeing the Son handing the throne to the Father. Because the church world does not know the law of entanglement. They're using language. You say, but Brother Louis, you are wrong. I can show you a quote where the Brother Brown says, and God was made flesh. Have you known that scripture, Luke 17:30? The Son of Man, right, will come in flesh. When did Son of Man come in flesh in our day? Was it not in the days of Brother Branham? But if you look at the words, and the Son of Man was made flesh, immediately people think of conception. Immediately people think of birth. The word made flesh is not conception. It's not birth also. So when you're reading that God was made flesh, people think conception. It's not conception. Because read this quote here. Paul says, and then the end cometh when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Who? The Son. When he shall have put down all things, down all rule and authority and power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy is death. Verse 28, when all things shall be subdued to him, then shall the Son also be subject to him. Who's that him? God. God. So you have what you call the invisible and the visible there. But it's written in a way just for the elect to catch it. Are you with me now? I'm going back to where I was supposed to be. Okay. So now when you're reading Ephesians 3:9, and all things were created by Jesus Christ. After he brought the Son, placed him in a body. Now listen to me very carefully. The Father is now going to put his thoughts in the mind of the Son. Of whatever he's going to do. I want you to create the zodiac. I'm going to create the moon. I'm going to create that. He puts those thoughts. The Son is going to speak it. Right? And the Father will create it. That's the rule changing now. The only time the Father spoke was for his light body. But thereafter, now the program and the process is going to change. That everything now, the Son is going to speak it. But he cannot speak outside the Father's mind. You see, but why? Because the Son does not have the mind of the Father. Even though they have the law of entanglement, they have the same atom body structure, the mind that the Son has is not omniscient. Always remember that. He does not know everything. You see, but what is the purpose of the Son? And you're going to read, you're going to see, I'm watching the clock. You're going to understand today. What was the purpose? Why did God write the scriptures this way? So in the message community, if you start studying from 46, you'll build a doctrine and you'll finish off as a oneness. But if you study from 65 and you go downwards after the seals, now you see a Father and Son. And lots of times people ask me, but Brother Louis, can't they see it? I told you, they know they don't know. They know they don't know. But they will give you a quote. I say this with a lot of respect. They know they don't know. Because something says, but I don't understand what I'm quoting. But why can't they change? It's only the Father can make them see it. I can't make them see it. All right? Because a lot of times there will be things that I will say and some of you will disagree and you will leave me. I say, but why? That's how it's designed. That's how it's designed. So when people leave the church, remember that it doesn't mean to say you will not see them. Yes, you will see them. You will see them. Oh, going into the other subject. I must be careful. All right. God in Sunday times, you know the scripture, God in Sunday times and diverse places spake in the past time by the prophets, had spoken to us by, and the prophet says, in his Son in the last days, okay? All right. Now, when you read Hebrews chapter 1 onwards, you can see that the Father was using the prophets, and then he began to use his Son, who he had made heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. You saw the scripture? By whom also he made the world. And that's how people read it. They read it as though the Son is the creator. But you've got to follow the dimensions, 8 down to 7, and you begin to see, there was a change in the program on the 7th. After the Father clothed himself, he took a portion, created the body of his Son, saying, now, Son, I'm now going to give you access to part of my thoughts. Now, you're going to say the words, and when you say the words, then I will bring it to pass. Are we okay? Now, you say, but why would he do? Because the Son of God becomes the personification of the Word. Listen to me now. I told you another word. Personification. Because you can't see God, he now needs a tangible vessel. So the law of invisible and the law of visible. Okay? The invisible God is now going to express himself through someone that is tangible. But because they are entangled, it'll seem as though they are one. And I know when you were small, you looked at yourself in the mirror and you saw yourself, and then you went outside the mirror and you went back again quickly to see if you can catch the reflection. You tried that, isn't it? I also did. But you can't catch that image if the image is not there. Only when you stand in front of the mirror, you can see the image. All right? Have you noticed sometimes you can even... if you have got 3 mirrors and you look in there, you can see there's so many of yous in there. Actually, there was just one. But everything else is just a reflection. Another law. It's called the law of reflection. You cannot reflect anything other than the substance. So you have the source and you have the product. You have the substance and you have the image. You have a substance and you have the image. God himself is substance, Nobody created, he was there. Everything else becomes a product that comes of God. Are you with me? Comes of God. So the scriptures are written, had in the who by whom also he made the world, verse 2. Who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself made purification of our sins. So now, the Son is the word by personification. You see, but what do you mean? I'm going to break it down further to show to you how you can so easily misunderstand the word and the living word. So you have the word and the living word. You might say, but what was the purpose? Is because the invisible word want to express himself to a family of human beings. But he cannot do that. So he needed what you call the living word to now become the expressed word. You say, what do you mean by expressed word? Every time the Son caught the thoughts of the Father, he merely expressed it. You say, but why would God do that? It's a game. So you're going to ask me now, who is the Son? Okay? The Son of God, he is the expressor. What is another word for expressor? Manifest. To show. To reveal. So when you're looking at the Son, his job is what? Is to express. You see, but why? Because there's something taking place in the unseen world. And through the unseen world now, this Son now becomes now the expressor. He becomes the revealer. So what you must understand, the Son is not the source, is only the expression of the thinking of God. Let me put it this way. You're hearing me, but you're not hearing me. Because I'm expressing the prophet. I'm expressing Jesus. I'm expressing the apostolic. I'm expressing God. It's not about me. You don't come to see me. You come because of the gift and the ministry. Do I make myself clear? So I become an expressor. I become a revealer. Because the only God you're going to know about is the one I teach you. But it's not my thinking. If Brother Branham was wrong, then I can't do anything because I'm wrong. If the apostolic is wrong, I can't do anything because I'm wrong. And if you are here because I'm wrong, then you must blame yourself. Because I can't see anything else but a Father and Son. Are you with me? So, I want to ask the question. God, who at Sunday time in divers manners speak in the past time to the fathers by the prophets. I want you to put on your thinking caps because I want to try and break this down a bit more easy to you. When they came to Moses, was not Moses the word for the day? Didn't he say that Moses would be your God? And Aaron would be the prophet? I will use Aaron to speak. Can't you see Father and Son there? So what is so difficult? So why do people have a problem to say, but why can't we sing about Jesus the Son? Why can't we worship? Because he was just an expresser, revealer, manifester. He was not the one behind the scenes. You say, but I don't understand you, Brother Louis. Here's another shocker. Who is this? The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways. Before the works of old, I was set up from everlasting, from beginning and ever the earth was. When there was no depth, I was brought forth. When there was no fountain abounding with the works, with the water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. Whilst as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the height of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the earth. Who was that? I know you're going to tell me it's the Son of God. I want to show you another level to this today. Son of God?
Yeah.
Really? Look at it again. Who is that? And if I use a poker all the time, I have this problem. The point A. I finished all this, don't worry. All right, so let's go to understand what is Proverbs chapter 8, let's go to Colossians. Can you bring Colossians up for me, please? Sit down. When I use my pointer, my computer gets stuck. I think I have a problem. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Brother, if you bring it up for me, please. Because when you're looking at this, you're only thinking the Son. It's something more than that. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 2. I thought I had to put up a slide. That the heart might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of full assurance of the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. So he wants you to know the mystery of God, of the Father and of Christ. Watch verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Proverbs 8:22 is actually Colossians 2 and 3. In whom are hid all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So Proverbs 8:22 is actually talking about the personification of wisdom. Because you see, you can't see wisdom. But wisdom has to be expressed. Now watch this. Under the seventh seal, wisdom has to be expressed. Knowledge has to be expressed. And it can only come via the Son of God. So God's wisdom, listen to me now. God's wisdom was hid in the Son. That's why you get the title Christ is the mystery of God revealed. If you see the Son, that means if you understand the Son, you'll understand the Father. Because you can't understand the Father without understanding the Son. And that's where the problem is in the church world today. Because He is the God of wisdom. So wisdom is going to come forth from where? It's going to come forth from the Son. God's wisdom is going to come forth in the form of a word. So when you're looking at John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4 onwards, in the beginning was the Word. And let's go, brothers, you bring that scripture, please, so I don't switch my slides and lose time. John chapter 1 and verse 4. So Proverbs 8:22 is what the personification, where wisdom now was hid in a man. Do I make myself clear? You can't understand the wisdom of God. You can't understand the mystery of God outside the man. And that man is the Son of God. That Son of God is going to bring, that is why He said, my doctrine is not mine. The words I speak is not mine. He says, everything I'm doing is of my Father. All He's saying, hey, I'm the mystery of God. I'm bringing to you the mystery and the secret. But you see the way language is written? The theologians got in and corrupted it. Ministers got in and corrupted it. That's why you needed a prophet. That is why you needed the true fivefold ministry to come and break it down for people to catch it. Go up, please, verse 1. John, in the beginning was the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. This is not talking about the Son. And all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. So the question you're going to ask now, who's got life? Is it the Son or the Father? It's the Father. Okay? The Father. Let's go to John 8:22. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself because he said, whether I go, he cannot come. And he said, you are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. So, why did the Son of God have a problem even to show that he was now bringing the mystery? He was now the place where mystery, the wisdom can be found. Because the world could not understand his language. Like how I said to you, Luke 17:30, and Son of Man made flesh in the last days, immediately people think of birth. But Brother Branham was never born God. Brother Branham was never incarnated God. Was never the incarnation God. But he was the revealer. He came to reveal. You say, but how? The thoughts, the angel. You see that Logos there, that pillar of fire? That's the pillar of fire that taught Brother Branham, because that's the pillar of fire that taught Moses. That's what taught Paul. It's the same one that taught Brother Branham. Amen? So you must remember that you cannot separate God and Christ. You can't separate them. Like, you say, but explain to him, I cannot separate you from your body, but yet you are not your body. But if I want to talk to you, I have to talk to you via your body. Do I make sense? So I'm trying. Because you see, the real you that I'm talking about is in the soul. But I can't get to the real man. Because he's the hidden man. He's the invisible man. I'm talking to the visible. That's how you understand God and Christ. They're not one like your finger. You say, but prove it, Brother Louis. When I die, my wife's not going to phone the people and say, when is Brother Louis coming? She's going to say, when's the body coming? You notice? Unconsciously, we say, but we don't really step back and think about it. Unconsciously, we say, so when's the body coming? Why don't you say, when is Mr. So-and-so coming? Because you subconsciously, you know that that person is not there anymore. But where are they? They are still alive in another world. So there is no disconnection between father and son. There cannot be. Even now, even though the Son of God is in heaven and God is on the earth, I showed you the quote. All right? People say, but how can you say God is... Okay, I'm going to show you this. Let me switch my screen, brother. Thank you. If I don't show you this, you're gonna all the time. Wonder where is this? Got it. Okay. Brother Norman, I didn't send you this, but let me send this to you quickly, Brother Norman, so that you can. Okay. Yeah, please don't copy this, Brother Norman, because I'm saying directly from my master file. Okay, I'm going to try and change my fonts before the deacons tell me they can't read. Okay, question and answers. Now, I'm proving to you that God is not in heaven. Okay? You say, but explain to me how. What do you mean God's not in heaven? Revelation 8 says there's silence in heaven. Hello? There is silence in heaven. Why there is silence in heaven? Because he came down with the book open. That angel of Revelation 10:1 is none other than the Lord himself coming with in a shout. I'm moving away just so that I can show you these things. The Lord himself shall descend with a shout. So he comes down with an open book. And now he never goes back. You say, but I just can't understand it. How can you say that? Okay, let me prove you another one. Remember that when he came down in the days of Brother Branham, 1909? Okay? Prophet was born. 1906 is Pentecost. The Purifier comes down. He did not know that was God. And then the Purifier comes down again. 46, comes down at the Ohio River, comes down where George Lacey takes a photograph. Up and down, that's God. He's not staying there all the time. 1963, he comes back with the book open and he never goes back. And that's what Revelation 8:1 says, there's silence in heaven. That's why our songs should not be Hillsongs. You know, Hillsong has got big problems now, eh? Go and read about them. You sing your whole hill songs, be careful. Change it. Get inspired. Go to our website and learn those songs. So he doesn't go back. That's what the Bible says. In heaven, there's a man without the presence of God making intercession. So lots of people are saying, but Brother Louis, why are you taking away glory from Jesus? No, I'm not taking away glory from Jesus the Father. Jesus the Son is a revealer, manifester. He is the living word, is the expressing word, is the word expressed, is the manifested word. Not to show himself, but to show the Father. That's where the hidden mysteries of God are. God hid himself in the Son so we can understand the Father. Are you with me? After the bride is raptured, will any foolish virgins be saved? Or will they be lost? So he answers all those things. He says the Spirit of God leaves the earth. Okay, let's in the first seal. Then later, when the devil is cast out, he is incarnate then. Not with the devil, okay? At the same time, the devil falls out of the heaven and becomes incarnate in the man. The Holy Ghost goes up and comes down incarnate at the man. I'm not going to preach this. I'm showing you the quotes because I don't have the time. The Holy Ghost is God. You know, the Bible says when she becomes him, right? And they go up and the spirit leaves it. But scriptures even talks about that. So in Revelation 8, he comes down with a book. He never goes back again. So this is one quote. This, the Holy Ghost, whatever. Okay, the Holy Ghost goes up and comes down incarnate in a man. You see, how does it take place? Right now, there is a ministry taking place beyond the grave, which the world does not understand. I showed you this, where Luther needs this message. Okay? I don't know, brother, if you can help me out with that quote. Luther needs this message to come up in the resurrection. The world is preaching that the bride will call up the dead. She can't even get herself ready. How she's going to call up the dead? It's wrong. The resurrection voice is not in the bride the way they're preaching. The shout, voice, and trump is part of the seventh seal. I told you the seventh seal is a threefold purpose. The shout is to the living, the voice is to the dead, and the trump is to the Jews. Okay, go back to the series I did on that. That I don't think I made that public. Now, the shout is the message. So the Father comes down to so that the bride can be gathered, so that she can come to know not the hidden, not the wisdom of God, but the hidden wisdom of God. So now the wisdom of God was in the Alpha series or the Alpha ministry, Son of Man Alpha. Now you got Son of Man Omega, who brings in the hidden wisdom of God. You say, but where, what do you mean hidden wisdom of God? Everything I showed you is just one or two letters, one or two sentences from the message books. Not too many places do we read that the Father's name is Jesus. There's not too many places. Did you find that quote, brother? Not too many places. I think one of them is God's chosen place of worship. Okay? It says, and the Father's name was Jesus, and he gave that name to his Son. Now, why would God do it here and there? It's because the wisdom of God is hidden in his Son. Now, don't stumble over what I'm going to say now. The mystery of God in this age. Now remember that the mystery of God was hid in the Son. If we understand the Son, we'll understand the Father. But today, the Son of God, Jesus the Son, is on the throne. So now God's going to use another body to reveal himself, which is the Son of Man ministry in our day. So everything I learn, you learn, excuse me, comes from a vindicated prophet. All right. Let me go on. Personal experience. And now I believe that he will come in a physical body someday. The same Jesus that went away. My throat's getting a bit dry. Sorry. The spirit will be taken from the church. Yes, it? The spirit will be taken from... What spirit? The spirit of God. What spirit of God? God himself. From the church back to the body of Christ and return again in a physical form. Just as he went away, the same Jesus eating, drinking and talking to his disciples, I believe he'll come. So what's going to happen after the ministry, after the Lord deals with Luther, Wesley, how will he deal with them? See, but I'm so confused. How will he deal with them? Remember when Jesus died and rose again? He met with the disciples for 40 days. They were having questions and answers. Okay? Because you read the book of Acts, it began to teach. Teach and do. Book of Acts, chapter 1. It began to teach and do. Not do and teach. Teach and do. Alright? And what did he do? In this age now, Luther needs to know Godhead. Uh-huh. Wesley needs to know Godhead. The Pentecost needs to know Godhead. Okay? I'm talking about the bride. Right? They all need to know Godhead. They can't rise until somebody teaches them. Just go. You must go back to my series. I showed you the Hebrew church. I showed you the Old Testament. I showed you the 144,000. Just go there. It's a whole lot of series on it. But they needed to know this. Now you say, but... Well, the Old Testament already, they knew there was a Jehovah God. They knew there was only one God. It's only in the New Testament this problem came about, that the church all mixed up, made into a trinity, made into a oneness, forgot about the Father, singing to the Son, worshipping the Son, saying thank you Jesus, but they don't know what Jesus is thanking. Alright? So the Spirit will go up, incarnate that body, and will come down as the incarnate God. We don't worship the Son. We won't worship the Son. We will honor the Son. We will respect the Son. Like how you respect your elders in the church, your father, how you respect the servants of God. But who do you worship? The Spirit will be taken from the church back to the body of God. Okay? Now, Brother Brown taught that the Lamb broke the seals, and we did not see the Lamb again until Revelation 19. But the bride sees him in the rapture and remains with him during the supper. Okay? During the supper. Now, the question is, brothers and sisters, if we see him during the supper, if you got the wrong Jesus, and the Bible tells us, the Brother Brown says, and he leaves the wedding supper, and he goes down to meet the 144,000, Brother Roy. Which Jesus leaves the wedding supper? Again, if your Godhead is wrong, you're going to make the Son to go down. What the Son is going to go and do down? And if Jesus the Son goes down, what are you going to do there? You've got no purpose. It's the Father again, that pillar of fire comes down again, comes to anoint the two witnesses, 144,000. Lord, help me. I've departed so far from my message now. 144,000. It's the same Jehovah God who goes to the Jews. He said, I don't understand. Where's the quote? Go and read the message book in the cloud picture. He said, look at him. He's coming for the Jews. He's coming for the Jews. He said, look at him. Where is he looking? He's looking to the east. He's looking to the Jews. Why? Wedding supper, the Father comes down, we still at up there. All right, let's go on. Another quote. First seal, he's incarnated. Okay, now he says, notice when this Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the form of the Holy Ghost becomes incarnate to us in the person of Jesus Christ, we'll crown him King of Kings. We don't crown the Son. Now, our understanding, we begin to see the Father in a temple. We don't worship the Son. We're worshiping the Father. The Spirit of God is still on the earth with us. He's on the other side. The ministry is going on through the fivefold. That's where we're getting anointed. Ministers, the true fivefold gets anointed by angels. You know that we did that already. So the pillar of fire leaves the earth. Okay? And we meet the incarnate God in the and crown him in the wedding supper. We don't crown the Son. We don't worship the Son. So lots of times people say, but brother, we are worshiping the same. We are not worshiping the same Jesus. Our songs are not the same. Brethren that left the other churches came here because they realized they have another gospel, another Jesus. They are worshiping creation. They are not worshiping the invisible God. They are worshiping the expresser. Okay. It says, they must have this ministry to raise up the Lutherans, Wesley and all of them down through the ages. So how, there's lots of quotes. How will they get to know that? It's because the pillar of fire, God himself goes onto that side. You know, lots of times, and I say this with respect, I know I'm streaming, people say the pillar of fire came. Yes, brother, it could be a light, it could be a minor angel, but it will never, never be God himself. Never be God himself. Because even Martin had a problem. Jesus appeared to him and looked just like Jesus, and that figure said, worship me, Martin. And Martin realized, hey, hold it, he's got a crown. That can't be Jesus. Because he has not yet been crowned again. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. Okay? The pillar of fire leaves the earth. Thank you, brother. Leaves the earth and will meet the incarnate God. Okay? Verse 1 is, behold, he comes with clouds and every eye will see. Who is this him? This is not the Son. The revelation changes now. Now we begin to understand the one that's behind the veil. This, all right. Revelation series again. 1960. What happened to his wife and his children? They went to a palace. Where will the Gentile church go to in the rapture? Into the palace. The bride will be taken off the earth in the rapture. Then when he returns, his bride isn't there. He makes himself known to his brethren, the Jews, those who pierced him, those who rejected him. But his wife and his loved ones, his close friends there, his own God-sent companion sat in the temple. His own God-sent companion sat in the temple. Who is that? God-sent companion? The Son of God. Okay? You say, but Brother Louis, how do you know it's God himself coming to the Jews? Yeah, I'm hitting the highlights because of time. Sixth seal, this is the tribulation period and so forth. Then God comes down and pulls 144,000 out of there. You get your Godhead wrong. You get everything wrong. You get your shout voice and trump wrong. You get your 144,000 wrong. You get the wedding supper wrong. It's a completely, brothers and sisters, different gospel. And I know because of this, we make enemies across the world. People get upset with us. But we didn't write Psalms 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, I didn't write it. I never wrote John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, so the one that they're coming to see, the Jews, is not the Son of God. You see, but I don't understand. Very simply, the Son is in the wedding supper. The Jews do not entertain Jesus, the Son, because they want to kill him there. The Father makes himself known to the two Jews who relate to them how they crucified him when he was in the body of flesh of his Son. Then, oh my, how come we didn't understand Godhead there? Even there they are taught Godhead. Oh, we didn't even know that he was Christ, the mystery of God. Do you understand how the picture is playing out? Because when the Jews came, when he was there and the Jews said, we want to kill him, he's making himself God. When you see me, you see my Father. Before Abraham was, I am. They could not understand the veil. They could not understand the living word from the word itself. Oh my goodness. Then when he comes, takes over his rightful place as the world ruler, then when those who have pierced him, so how do they pierce him? With their creeds and the doctrines. And all the world shall wail in terror because of him who is the Word. Who is the Word? God. Who is the living Word? The Son. Who is the invisible one? God. Who is the visible one? Jesus the Son. God likened us to sheep and we must have a leader. And the leader is not the man. That leader is the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ amongst us. So I'm showing you that the Father did not leave the earth. He didn't leave the earth. That is why you'd find there was silence in heaven and still will be silence in heaven. You can see 1964, the Lord Jesus' body is sitting on the right hand of majesty. When he comes, times no more, when that body returns to the earth, but his spirit's here. Whose spirit? Not the Son. God. God is amongst amongst us. He's with the elected. On that side, beyond the grave, there's a ministry going on. We are here. And we are enjoying the ministry. But in heaven, there's no worship there. Okay, I'm going to close this. Oh, time, man. I've got a rush, brothers and sisters. Let's pick up speed. Fasten your seat belts. I finished the law of entanglement. We did all this, okay? Okay, Ephesians 6:17. So I read to you the scope. You started off somewhere here. I and my Father are one. Now you begin to understand. When you see me, you've seen the Father. When you understand me, you understand the Father. God, it's not only to do with optical, but it's also got to do with understanding. Because the wisdom of God, the mystery of God, the knowledge of God was hid in Jesus. When you see the word made manifest, you see God. You see the Father God. Amen? And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 6:17. So the word of God comes out of a prophet's mouth, according to Hebrews 1. Comes out of the mouth of the Son. But in the beginning, it came out of the mouth of God himself. Alright? You will say, but why? It's because I showed you that. Because Revelation 19 and 15, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And out of his mouth goes a sharp, two-edged sword. So that same word, we see it here in the beginning. The same word was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, which is the Word. Remember, it's God. Okay? Now it's talking about God. So remember that we are talking about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Don't confuse it when the Bible says, and the world was framed by the Word of God. That's completely different. Okay? Let's go to John 1, 5 and 7. 1 John 5 and 7. Brethren at the back, if you can bring it up, help me out please. So when you look at the scripture, for there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word. I want the brothers to bring it up so you'll understand. The Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now, the Father, we know he is God. But when you're looking at the Word, it is not, this is not what you think. Hit the word, Word. That's Logos. This is God. This is John 1:1. You see, they put it in small letters, W-O-R-D. You're thinking spoken word. You're thinking Rhema. But now the Bible says, there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. That is exactly what took place from the 8th to the 7th. From the 8th to the 7th, he was the substance. He comes down, right? Calls himself the Word. And when he puts himself into a body and so forth, now you have the Spirit of God there, which we call the Holy Ghost. Now, if the Lord allows us the time, even when you look at the word Holy Ghost, has got so many meanings to it. It refers to God, refers to a dispensation, refers to Zoe, refers to a ministry, refers to the anointer, refers to the anointing. So you just can't look at it one way. You got to sit and look at it under the seventh seal. Then you can get a clearer picture. If you really want to be a student, brothers and sisters, of this word and come to know your God, you cannot afford to be schematic in your studies. You've got to become a student. You've got to go back to everything I teach you. Go back to the recordings. Then only it becomes clear. And the Bible says, and these three are one. It does not say they agree in one. There is no Sunday, brothers and sisters. But the Bible says they are one. It's the law of entanglement. It's the same God who is the Word. It's the same God who is the Holy Ghost. And if I had the time, Brother Bram takes the same scripture of John 5 or John 1, 5 and 7, and he ties it also now, because this is in heaven. When he brings it to earth, he ties it to Matthew 28. It ties to Matthew 28. Okay? And so what does God do? He condescends himself. He becomes, he is the Word. Okay? He lives in the body of light. And when he's in the body of light, now he's in a theophany. And now you're seeing now, brothers and sisters, what is it? He's going to now start creating. So we know that they don't agree in one. There's no Sunday, okay? Because he has not created heaven yet. He had not clothed himself with the pillar of fire yet. The first act he did was he condescends from the 8th to the 7th. And here we see now, what is it? He's in a form, okay? In the 7th dimension, he's in a form. This is all revision. And now in the 7th dimension, he calls himself the Word, because the Spirit is coming with his Word. That means coming with his thoughts, his logos, is coming with these concepts and so forth. Okay, this is all revision. I already spoke to you about the first word that was spoke is to clothe himself. So I'm not going to do too much. All right. So let's look at some things. So the theophany is the body of one God. You can see it's the Father, you can see it's the Word, you can see it's the Holy Spirit, and there's no Son yet. All right? The Father or the Word or the Spirit now as an omniscient mind. All right? Now this is important. If the Father is the Word, if the Father is the Spirit, who is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart? Let's go to Hebrews 4 and 12, brethren, whilst I show you this. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword. Now, when you read that there, it's not doctrine. Because remember that the Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than two-edged. Let's hit the word. Oh, logos again. So this is about the being. Only the being can discern your heart. Not anybody else. Not even the Son. Not even Brother Branham. He said, but no. He turns his back. The angel comes there to anoint him. And the angel discerns the heart. And the angel begins to show him in a vision, and he begins to come there. He now becomes the voice of God to you. Do I make sense? All right. So sorry, brother. Go back, please. Please go back. We still got a lot of time. Sun only sets at 6. Lots of time. Right. Hit the word again. What does it say? Word, say, account, come down. Speech, word, Christ. So lots of times people thinking of what? They're thinking of doctrine. Why? Because go down further, you'll see this. Come down. Discourse, doctrine, can you see? But doctrine can't discern, teaching can't discern. It's the being that discerns. It's God who discerns. So sometimes you see, you need a prophet, you need a ministry to come in and to teach you. You cannot take dictionaries. That is why you have so much. So where was the departure? Was when God brought his Son. He said, son, now I'm going to give you my thoughts and now you're going to speak. And when I'm writing it, I'm going to get the prophets to say, he created everything by Jesus Christ. And so the whole world ran off with this concept. Jesus can create. Jesus is the healer. Let me ask you a question. You go to a prayer meeting or you're not well, and somebody prays for you, and you get well. Who healed you? The man who prayed, or God? You go to a church where they lay hands upon you. Was it the man's hands or God's hands? That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's all about God. It's all about God. Okay, let's move faster. All right? So 1 John 5 and 7 is compound meaning. It has compound meanings. Right? This refers to 1 John 5 and 7, and also you can tie it to Matthew 28. You can bring it down to earth. Proverbs 8:22, I showed you, was a son and was also wisdom. Compound meaning. John chapter 1 is compound meaning. I'm showing you today, if you read John 1:1 with the understanding that Jesus became the revealed word, the expressed word, the manifested word, you are not wrong. But did he come to show himself? Brethren, just bring up in the church age book, exegesis. Exegesis. So Brother Brown takes this here, 1 John 5 and 7, and he begins to preach Godhead on earth. It's one God in three offices. Not three gods, one God. In three offices, okay? Wow, timing. Exegesis. Where we are? Exegesis. Look for the word exegesis. Here we are. The word, let's talk a little bit, please, brother. God on occasion would manifest his presence by the pillar of cloud, pillar of fire, that struck the hearts, fear in the hearts of people, whose hearts, the captivity were made known only by a revelation of words through prophets, now became Emmanuel, God with, what's this? It? Revelation of words through prophets, now became Emmanuel, God with us, declared himself. The word declare is taken from the root word which interprets exegesis, which means to thoroughly explain and make clear. That is what the living word Jesus did. Who's the living word? Jesus. Who's the invisible word? The Father. The living word, he brought God to us, for he was God. He revealed God to us with such perfect clarity that John could say in John 1:3, okay, that which was from the beginning, we heard Logos in speech, we have seen it with eyes, we have looked upon, and our eyes have handled the word of life. Come down, brother. No time. You can go home and read the scripture. Go, come down. See, that which you have seen, heard, declared unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. Our full fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. When God was truly revealed, he was manifest in flesh. He had seen me, and he that had seen me had seen the Father. So Brother Brown says, he says, Jesus came to thoroughly explain. Somewhere there, you can find it for me, the highlighted. Thoroughly explain and declare God. That means without this wisdom, you and I will never know who God is. When Jesus was truly revealed, there's another one. He came to declare or plainly reveal. But are you getting the picture? Okay, because I don't want to overcompensate this whole thing. Because you're getting the picture that you have the Father and you have the Son. The Son, by revelation, is God. But he's not God on his own. Okay? Here you are. The word declare is taken from the root word, which often interprets exit, which means to thoroughly explain and make clear. That's what the living word Jesus did. He brought God to us. He was not God. But he becomes God by revelation, which means when you see God working through him, when I heard of Brother Branham and I saw God working through Brother Branham, I could say there's nothing else but God. When Nicodemus saw Jesus and said, no man can do this unless God is with him. And lots of time people ask the question, but what is wrong if you give praises to the Son? That is sin. That is idolatry. That's creation worship. It is serious. It's anti-word. I put a slide up, but I don't have the time. Okay, so this is where the confusion is. Father, Son, Holy Ghost is either an office, right? Or Father can refer to the Creator. Or Father can refer to the pillar of fire. Son is an office. Or Son can refer to Son with the soul. Or it can refer to God in a Son. Holy Ghost can mean an office. Holy Ghost can mean a ministry through the seven church angels. And Holy Ghost can mean God Himself. Holy Ghost can mean angel of the covenant. Now if you don't have your Godhead right, all this is going to be in sin. All this is going to be in sin. Watch this now. Jesus was the express image of God. He was God expressing Himself in man to man. God expressing Himself in man to man. Okay, my writing is a bit small, but I don't have the time. Okay, I want you to notice, he says, I want you to notice that in the margin of your Bible, he says it, the word by is not correct. It should be in. Okay? Right at the bottom, Samuel 3:21. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of God. That brings us to 1 John 5:7. The Spirit of and the Word are one. Jesus revealed the Father. That's what Brother Brian says. Jesus revealed the Father. The Word revealed the Father. Jesus was the living Word. So when you read this here, brothers and sisters, it is telling you, you cannot know and see God outside an expression. Okay? In Numbers 12:6, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. How did God make himself known to prophets? By visions. Now, if prophets were called gods, and then when somebody quotes Isaiah 9:6, he was called the mighty God. Why doesn't it say almighty God? Have you ever thought about that? Why does it say mighty God? Because Moses was calling God. Jesus said, didn't the law say that the prophets would be called gods? Didn't Brother Brian say that Adam was an amateur God? But the Son of God had God without measure. So he becomes not equal to Moses, not equal to Adam. He becomes a mighty God, not an almighty God. People quote Isaiah 9:6 to support oneness. Okay? And they say, but he was the everlasting Father. Read the word everlasting. Everlasting Father, okay, is not eternal Father. Isaiah 9:6 is used, God using it to keep the veil. Keep the veil so that you don't see who really is God. You say, but why? Because it's a game. You have to play it right until the end with the seals open. You say, okay. And yesterday we invited to a Thanksgiving service. I was talking to this gentleman. He had a book. He was trying to show the children some things. He said, have you seen this book? I said, yeah, I've seen that before. You know? Yeah, he picks up the book and it's blank. And then he turns the book around. He says, blow. Yeah, for the children. Okay? So, oh, children say, oh my, look at the pictures. You know? But it's something that the man was... It's not magic, okay? This is a game. He kept the mystery away. He kept the mystery away, and he reveals it only at the end. In some places, they don't reveal, and that's what God did. He kept you guessing. Was he Joseph? Was he Adam? Was he Gideon? Was he Malachi? Was he Jeremiah? Was he no? And then in the end, he said, "I want you to know, I was playing a game. Catch me if you can," he says. Please don't look for that scripture now. Catch me if you can. Okay, Luke 10:22. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth. You know, a lot of people talk about this. Read the scripture again. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knoweth who the Son is. Hello? You think you know the Son? That scripture there is seven seal scripture, brother and sister. Read it again. Look at it hard. But the Father. Who the Father is, but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. No man know who the Son is. There's another scripture, no man knows the Father. Everybody say they know the Son. But the scripture said, no man knows who the Son is. See, but why will they not know the Son? The Son was also in a temple. The Son is a soul. The soul is a soul, just like you. The real you are a soul. I have a gene. Your body is just loaned to you by your father and your mother. Oh Lord, we're running out of time. Jesus was upon thee. He says, believe thou that I am in the Father, Father in me. So how was the Father in the Son? By thoughts and by incarnation. The Father, oh my gosh. The Father was there by blood. All right? But I want to, goes on to say, and when the bride comes back to being a word bride, she will produce the very works of Jesus. So if the bride is the word bride, so why can't they call you God? You see, even that too, people don't sit back and when they say, but they use the scripture, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. But what about John 17? Father, I pray that they become one, even as you are one. Huh? See, then the people are not, they don't want to be, look deeper. I'm trying to be nice. Okay? The Spirit is God, they are all one. One cannot work apart from the other. If one is truly has the Spirit of God, he will have the Word of God. That is how it was with prophets. They had the indwelling in yellow. They had the indwelling of the Spirit of God, and the Word came to them. That is how it was with Jesus. In him was the Spirit without measure. The Word came to him. Jesus began to do and teach. My doctrine is not mine, but my Father that sent me. So Jesus was the expressed Word. He was not the Word. He came to express the Word. Although it's called the living word, it's called the visible word, but he came to speak about the Father, not about himself. It speaks of John when he was baptized in Jordan, the word of God, Jesus came to him. Okay? The word of God, which is Jesus. So John 1:14, the Word was made flesh. Which Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us? This is God. You say, but how was God made flesh to us? Now, most of the time when you read these scriptures, you read the quotes, the first thing you're thinking of Jesus, the Son of God. I told you, think of the blood cell. You must think of the blood cell and you'll begin to understand it. He created the blood cell. Whose blood was that? It was the blood of God. And God created the blood cell, put his characteristics there, and then he gives that house for the son to live in. He says, son, I'm giving you a house to live in from the time you are born until Jordan. After Jordan, son, you and I are going to share. Everything we're going to share. I'll stay with you from Jordan till Gethsemane. I will use your that body. I will talk through your body. I will do everything through that body, but I'm going to leave it. Okay? Because all you're going to do is you're going to carry my thoughts. Are we good? Oh, I am rushing. The deacons are going to say, why did you rush? Alright, so the Word of God was made flesh. Can't you say, can we say that Moses was the Word made flesh? Why did Brother Bram come and preach the Word made flesh in the India report? Does it mean the Word was born flesh? No. The Word was revealed. The Word was made known. Okay? All right. So under the sonship, you know the fatherhood, I spoke to you about the fatherhood, God in the pillar of fire. After that, it's called the sonship. After that, it's called the sonship. You say, but why sonship? Okay? Because in the sonship, brothers and sisters, God is with us biologically. Very quickly, I'll explain the slides. You say, how was God with us biologically? By blood. He created a blood cell, and that body in the womb of Mary was not the blood and the body of the Son. It was the blood and the body of the Creator. But the Creator did not stay in that body. Just like how you look like your mother and your father. Your father and mother are in you, but they are not in you. How are they in you? By characteristics, by influence, by thoughts, but they are not in you. So, from the time of Mary, it's called the sonship. It's the beginning of a new species. God is starting a new race in the womb of Mary. And that becomes, God becomes the first creation. How can God become the first creation? Well, that's what the prophet says. But does it mean he has a soul? No. In the womb of Mary, it was only the qualities, traits, and characteristics, which was the creation of God. But the being itself was not there. And in the womb of Mary, Jesus, the Son of God, becomes the firstborn of the new creation. Now, this, brothers and sisters, is where most of the problems lie in the message community. They can't understand sonship. When you're looking at sonship, it can refer to a person, can refer to a ministry. Son of God can refer to a dispensation. Sonship is how God is operating in His Son. But here I'm showing you that when the Son was upon the earth and God was with us in flesh, that becomes the living Word. But the living Word was not God. He came to express God. Now you're going to ask me, what is such a big deal about the body? Anybody knows? Does anybody in the church, you can answer me, I will not say anything. What was so important about the body? What does your body carry? What's it, sister? I heard you say. Blood. Your body carries blood. God needed a vehicle or a vessel. This is all about the blood. Because blood had to be shed. He says, I could not send anybody else. I can't send an angel. I can't send another. I've got to come. Not in the sense I've got to come, but I've got to come to shed my blood. So blood was what was in the womb of Mary, because blood took us out of the garden. And blood's going to bring us back. So it's all about the blood. Now, I've got children here. The natural father has got seeds from his hip down. But our spiritual seeds was lying in the blood veins. There's a lot of quotes, I don't have the time. Jehovah's genes was flowing through the blood. What was it doing? It's there to give birth to the bride, to start a new race, okay, a new creation. All that took place was this vessel was only a vocal place that God was doing things and using that body to bring miracles. But the mystery behind the entire thing was about the blood. So the Father said to the Son, you can read the message conferences, go home, wonderful subject. Maybe brothers must play the tape for you all. Put it on the link. Father and Son having a talk, he says, Son, I've got to leave you. I can't stay here because the sin of the world has to come upon this body, because this body is not yours. You're living here. You're just a soul. Look, unfortunately, it's going to be heavy. Do you really want to go? You know, because this is what's going to happen. They're going to take the body that I made. They're going to take it to the cross. They're going to whip it. Once I'm talking, brethren, bring up the quote in Church Ages, Jehovah standing in the courtyard, Jehovah bleeding, Jehovah crying, Jehovah bruising. Now, see, that's my body, Son. I want you to understand this. They're going to whip me. They're going to do everything. I can't be there as a being because I can't be there. One is because I can't stand sin. But I made this body to become an atonement. Are you prepared to take this body to the cross? Father, okay, Father. Not my will, but thy will be done. And the Bible says, angels came and ministered to him. And the Son's job now is to take the body. Now, you've got a lot of scars in your body, every one of you. No matter how big it is, how small it is, you've got a lot of marks. You fell down. If you didn't fall down, then there's something wrong with you. You need to fall. Okay. Okay. But when you go on the other side, did you know you'll never have a scar? You'll be in a body. You'll never have a scar. Only the Son of God is going to have a scar. All right? So, the Son of God is going to take the body to the cross. So when you hit your hand or your finger, what do you say? Oh, I hurt my... my finger. I smashed my toe. But who are you? You are in a body. Another sign, he said, but it can be a devil. It was the greatest sign. Come down, brother. Jehovah standing in the courtyard. Who? Jehovah standing in the courtyard, bruised and bleeding with thorns on his brow, spit on his face, mocked and said, not Jehovah despised, rejected, hanging naked upon the cross, while hypocrites jeered and dared him to come down the cross. Jehovah dying. And what do you say? Jehovah can't die. God can't die. Jehovah praying, nothing happening. Jehovah died. Who is he talking about? The body. The body belong to God. All right. So the purpose of the body was what? Just to carry the blood. But people miss the miracle, miss the wisdom and the mystery behind the body. They don't understand it. God was using the body to hide the mystery. Okay, so I put a question there. And God was there, then God was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. Is that right? In His Son. I showed you this. If God was made flesh and you're thinking about birth and conception, you are going to have a problem. The Son of Man made flesh there. You're standing there in flesh at that time. Talk about the days of Abraham and it's paralleling our day. When you're reading quotes like He was made flesh, don't think of conception. Think of expression. Think of manifesting. Think of revealing. God revealing Himself through flesh, not becoming flesh. Are you with me? Okay, I've got a... God was manifest... Brother, bring this quote up. Bring the scripture. God was manifest in the flesh. People use this. Ah, oh, but Brother Louis, God was manifest in the flesh. That's why you don't understand that Jesus is God. By revelation, yes. But it doesn't mean the living word is God. Came to express God, reveal God. Bible says God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Without controversy, great is the mystery. So the mystery of God was hid in this body. That's where the wisdom of God was. And so when you look at the word manifest, God was manifested in the flesh. It comes up with the word, hit the word manifest, brother. Phaneru means to make manifest, to appear, to show, to make manifest or visible, to make known what has been hidden or unknown by words or deeds. So you can read this in your notes and you're going to find what was it? God was declaring Himself in flesh, not becoming flesh. The invisible cannot become flesh, brothers and sisters. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us and we beheld His glory. I think you are getting the picture. If you can't get the picture, go back to it. Okay? So the Word, the being is going to recruit people to represent Him, the being, and call themselves the Word. That's what's going to happen. He's going to find prophets, He's going to find His Son, and God's going to cause them to see the Word. And what is happening? They become chosen and they become the Word of God. Okay, just like Moses was the Word of God. Okay, so there's a big difference between the Word, who is the being, and there's a big difference with the one that is revealing the thoughts. And that's what the Son came to do. Bring the thoughts, bring the doctrines. But He was not God on His own. Okay? So I think I'm going to stop here. There's a lot that we're going to go through. Because Brother Norman, please don't release the other part of my notes. Okay, we're going to go back to it again. I trust the Lord will bless you, undertake for you in a special way. Please go back to the recordings. I know I did rush a little bit. Go back to the recordings and you'll begin to understand the living Word and the Word. The expressed Word and the Word. The Word and the revealed Word. The manifested Word. God made flesh is not God being born as flesh. It's God being revealed in flesh. Amen.